She brings wealth and health to her audience by tackling hot topics around substance use disorder, mental health, and wellness. Her mission, vision, and goal are to help you heal from your past trauma, inspire you to transform your body, mind, and soul so you can live your best life. Your board-certified psychiatric mental health doctor, nurse practitioner, trauma care maestro, and media analyst, your life ambassador, best-selling author, TEDx talk speaker, CEO of Pool of Bethesda Psychiatric Health in Arizona. Let's all welcome Dr. Princess Fumi Hancock.
We are going to be discussing a very important topic, which is how to maintain your mental health or your mental wellness during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Welcome, Dr. Princess Fumi Hancock.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
We are excited to have you with us again. We had an awesome time last time.
Yes.
We couldn't get enough of you. So
awesome.
Thank you so much for accepting to come back to the UIG show. And you are very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. How is your day, ma'am? How is your afternoon going?
Awesome.
Good.
Brilliant. So we better dive straight into this topic. What are we discussing today?
Yes. So today we are talking about how to maintain our mental wellness during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Wow. So obviously this is recording this episode, we are in 2021, but obviously, as we know, COVID started in 2020.
Yes.
So it's been a space of about just over 12 months since this happened. And you know, what are your first intakes, please, Dr. Fumi, about this situation?
Well, a lot of times when people hear mental wellness or mental health, they really do not have a grasp of what does it even mean to have mental health or mental illness.
Yes.
And so I think it would be a great place to start. There was a recent poll that I read on, I think it was brought out by World Health Organization, that says that, kind of defined it for us. It says mental health is a state of well-being. Let's just put it that way. It's a state of well-being where you as an individual, you realize your own abilities, not just your abilities alone, but also realize how much you can cope with normal stresses of life and how you can work productively, not just cope, but also work productively. And of course, how you are able to make contribution to society at large. So those are the three components of mental health.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
And I think it's something that a lot of people don't really think about, you know. You just live life without actually even taking care or considering what your mental state is like.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like a norm. It's not a culture for people to really work on their mental state or observe it. So hence why we decided this, you know, we felt it was vital to discuss this topic today. So thank you for that.
And let me just add one thing to that too. When you look at mental health and, you know, substance abuse disorders all over the world, right? 13% of the world at large actually are, you know, affected by mental health and substance abuse. Now, we said 13% because we all know, for those of us who come from Africa, right, because of the stigma, it's quite possible that the recording, right, the reports there will be kind of skewed.
Yes.
It's probably more than that.
Probably more than, yes. Absolutely.
So we know that even with the pandemic, it's just rising. My practice has gone from like 50% to like maybe 400% now.
What?
That I don't even know what to do about it anymore.
Wow.
It's just like every morning I find myself just sitting there just saying, okay, God, you've got to help me here, because where do I even begin? And it's not just affecting kids. I see kids like from 4 years old all the way to 90-something years old. You have a four-year-old that's trying to hang himself. Now, think about that, because of the pandemic.
Wow.
That's what we're dealing with now.
Yes. I mean, this is the reason why we wanted to do this topic, because, you know, people may just be thinking, when they talk about coronavirus or you know, COVID-19, they're only thinking about the virus and how it will affect them physically. However, the psychological, you know, pains and what it's actually doing emotionally to people is actually, I don't want to say more, but it's very much detrimental.
Yeah.
It is very much. And it goes the spectrum. So from children up into adults, older adults,
wow.
You know, so it's so wide. And, wow. You know, you have people sitting at home, having so much worry and anxiety, and they don't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's wonderful that we're having this. And thank you once again, Dr. Fumi, for being here and to really explain and talk about what is actually, how it's affecting people.
Yes.
Thank you for having me again. Yesterday, one of my op-eds came out. And what I talked about in that op-ed is 2020, I don't even know what year we're in now, 2020.
2021.
Now, see, that's the pandemic. That's the effect of the pandemic.
It wasn't
so long.
Yes.
So 2020 was declared the year of the nurses. And I said in my op-ed, I said, we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, because 2022 might be the exodus of nurses out of the healthcare. And they said, well, goodness. What do you mean by that? I said, well, because, you know, if we don't get a handle on this, a lot of our healthcare workers, they're exhausted. They're just exhausted, not just healthcare workers alone, social workers, therapists, they are just incredibly exhausted. And if we do not get a hold of this, I said in my other op-ed, I said, well, they keep calling us heroes. You know, I don't want to be a hero. I just want to wake up, go back home safe. And we stop this mess. So if you call me your hero, then you're going to protect me. You're going to make sure that you do whatever you need to do and then expose me, case in point, expose my family to whatever it is that's going on out there. So I think thank you again for bringing this up, because I think it's very important. A lot of times when people hear mental health, they're just sitting there like, oh, it's just mental health.
Yeah.
But then when you say mental illness, it's like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh,
yes. So I think it's good through your platform so that we can actually talk about the characteristics of mental health and not just that, and how can we adapt it to what's going on out there with COVID the pandemic.
Yes.
I'm one person that loves to apply, you know, I love to apply things to life so that that way whoever is listening can actually say, I see myself in it. So I kind of like to align the characteristics of mental health and then look at it, you know, how that translates into, you know, apply into what the effects are. So one of the characteristics of mental health is you want to feel good about yourself, right? So for somebody who is in COVID, who is experiencing COVID, the pandemic, you sure are not feeling good about yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of things. So those are one of the characteristics. One other thing is that, you know, you do not want to get overwhelmed, right? A lot of people, when you have mental health, good wellness says that, predicts that you do not get overwhelmed by emotions such as fear, anger, love, jealousy, guilt, anxiety. But for somebody who has been cooped up in the house for so long, this is the opposite. So the opposite of the characteristics of mental health is what we are experiencing in COVID. So you have, for someone who wants to talk about mental health, you're talking about having a lasting and satisfying personal relationship. Well, social isolation, y'all. So you have social isolation. You, as a mental health, you want to feel comfortable with others. Well, social isolation, social anxiety, social phobia, that's what you have on the other end, right? And then when you look at the very last one I want to talk about is, for someone who's really blossoming in mental health, you laugh at yourself, even when you make mistakes without having any, you know, repercussion to it. You laugh with others, but what we're experiencing with the COVID now is what we call intermittent explosive disorder, where you have people just exploding at each other. Case in point, in the, you know, you have the people flying now, you know, beating down their air hostess.
Yes.
All kinds of things. So you have all this explosion going on all around us. So when you look at the characteristics of mental health and you put it with COVID, when you understand the characteristics, then you know what to look out for, right? When you start to experience the opposite, then you know, I'm getting the COVID fever.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I think I have one thing as well I wanted to get your perspective on. We discussed this as well. We had a discussion, do you remember, on Clubhouse with yourself, Dr. Fumi, and we talked about what the effects of social media has as well in terms of pandemic and mental health. Would you be able to touch upon that?
Well, I tell you what, social media is great. We all know it's great when it's used. It's an instrument that when it's used very well, right, it's great. But here's the thing. The world that we're living in right now, everybody is living on the edge, right? So which means that we who use it have to be responsible. Now we have kids that are literally left at home while their parents have to work, and they are on the social media watching us grown-ups say all kind of stuff, saying all kind of rhetoric that is not necessarily true. We are showing them how to commit suicide. We are showing them how to, you know, when you're anxious, just go punch the fellow other person. We are showing them things that are not healthy, so that while social media is a tool that is incredible, for example, when you're done with this, you're going to put it on social media, more people are going to have a chance to listen, to watch what you have to say, and be able to adapt their lives to what you tell them. On the other side, you have people doing the same thing, only they're doing it the opposite way. They wake up in the morning and say, well, how can I get somebody else confused more? How can I, you know, push my own agenda, regardless, you know, narcissistic characters, that how can I push my agenda regardless of what it does? Social media can be a great way to actually push a great agenda out there, push education out there, but it can also be detrimental, because after all, we've seen people that have literally hurt themselves on live Facebook.
Wow. This is so alarming. I want to take this opportunity to say, if at all you are experiencing difficulties with mental health, or COVID-19 has affected your mental health in any shape or form, if the things that we are sharing here today are the wisdom that Dr. Fumi is sharing with us, if it's sounding alarming, red flagging, or familiar to maybe not just yourself or somebody you know, please do feel free to get in touch with UIG Social Enterprise. We have counselors, psychiatrists, you know, doctors who are here to support you through your mental well-being. It has been so insightful already. And you know, I'm just keen to dive a little bit deeper into this discussion of how COVID has affected mental wellness. So let's go right ahead with the next question.
So Dr. Fumi, just before we went on a break, you actually spoke about the rate of suicides. So what can you tell us about the relation with the pandemic and suicidal ideation or suicidal thoughts?
Oh, that's such a great question. Thank you for asking that. One in every three teenager that I see in my practice right now, I've never experienced suicidal thoughts before, suicidal ideation, and they now do. And a lot of times it has to do with the isolation. People have been isolated for too long in the house, and so they're in their own heads, thinking in their own way, and just saying, I wonder how it feels like if I just boom. I wonder how it feels like. So there is a correlation between that pandemic fever. I call it the pandemic fever, you know, to people now being, you know, having suicidal thoughts. And when you talk about the suicidal thought, that doesn't necessarily mean, for some of them, it doesn't mean that it's going to end up in attempt. It just means that they have racing thoughts. Their thoughts are just racing at a speed of light that they can't even catch themselves. They see themselves always imagining, whoa, I wonder what it feels like if I did this. I wonder what, you know, would anybody miss me? So you have kids that are left at home who are just by themselves. And so there is an increase in that racing thoughts, an increase in flight of ideas in their heads, an increase in anxiety increase in depression, and ultimately an increase in suicidality.
Yes, wow. Yes, yes, yes. Wow. I mean, this is so important. And I mean, we know that this is very, very detrimental. Yeah. And sometimes when you're sitting in your own home, and there may actually be people who are not really fazed with what is going on.
Yeah.
That's right.
However, there are people that are really being affected.
Yes, absolutely.
And they may not know because of the, let's just say, the stigma with mental health, mental illness. People are afraid to come out and to accept that, you know, they're going through something, you know, and it's really important for people to really don't feel ashamed, don't feel, to actually understand that it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what we want to bring up. We want to kind of raise this awareness.
Yes.
And with what is happening in the world today, things are happening.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. So, Dr. Fumi, what would you say to somebody who may be listening to this and actually feels like, oh, my goodness, I think some of these things they're saying, it's me, and start saying, you know, they may feel like they have mental instability. What would you advise them to do?
Well, let me just use myself as an example. So a lot of times, I mean, when I was younger, I was going through depression during my marriage, you know, marital issues, but I didn't even know what it was, right? Mm-hmm. When I finally decided to seek help, I knew I had anxiety, but I wasn't sure if it was worry, if it was anxiety, mm-hmm. was it sadness, mm-hmm. what is depression? So it's important, number one, that we are clear on what it is that we're going through. I cannot tell you how many times I would have parents come with their children, and then when I ask the children, are you going through suicidal thoughts or whatever, and they say yes, and their mother is like, huh? What did you mean? So when we talk about worry, right, worry refers to your thoughts. It refers to that images. It refers to that emotion. It refers to the action of a negative nature that is repetitive. Let me say that again. It is repetitive. So you're constantly worried about something. It's something that you almost cannot control that manner, but it's just there. You're always, I call them my worry words, because they wake up in the morning worried, they sleep, go to bed worried, right? Now, when you talk about anxiety is intense. It's it's an intense emotional experience, right? It is excessive. It is persistent worry. Now, you see how the two are pointing to each other, right? Persistent worry. It's something that you're fearful of every situation. Anything can go wrong. Oh, my God, you're worried. And now with people who are with the pandemic, who have been sitting at home all year round, right? They are experiencing both. And so when your brain is experiencing both, and then to top it up, you're experiencing depression and all that upon it, and sadness and sorrow and just all that upon it. Of course, the next thing will be racing thoughts, and then start thinking about, let me just check out of here. I need to just check out of here. Don't mean to, but I just want to, let me just take those little pills and just sleep and not feel anything for a while. Sadly, you might overtake too much and overdose. So we need to understand. When we understand what we're dealing with, then we know what to apply to it. When you understand I'm worried, then you know what to do. You know to go to your therapist. You know to go to a psychiatrist like myself and say, hey, I'm worried about HOLA. There are some worriness that just require you to have therapy, and there are some worriness that require that we might have to give you some antidepressants to kind of help you with the serotonin levels in your brain.
Yes.
So it's very important that you know exactly what you're going through.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Fumi. So before we let you go, Dr. Fumi, please tell us, I know that you are a best-selling author. Tell us a little bit about your books, and also let the audience know how they could get in touch with you.
Well, I always say Google me. I always say Google me and you'll find me. All my books are on Amazon. I also publish others too. I think one of the earliest ones, the recent one that I did, It's called Don't Let Your Name, My Name Scare You. This is a young man that went through suicidality, that went through, he's diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, and just been through a lot. And then he's a Muslim, he's a born-again Christian Muslim. Go figure that out.
Wow.
So that's, you know, it's called Rahman. And so we said, don't let my name scare you. Come on a little closer.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, so wow. I see a lot of, and with him, it became a bestseller, even at pre-orders. So God has actually given me that knack to be able to turn stories like that, trauma stories like that, and turn them into best-selling books. So if you need to know more about that, just go to Dr. Fumi, FUMI Psych DMP, and you'll find a lot about me there.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Princess.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We are honored and we look forward to having you again in the future.
Thank you for listening to Tear the Veil with Dr. Fumi. We hope you have enjoyed being a part of today's show and that we have helped you in shining. For further information, you can visit us at drfumipsychdnp.com and pobpsychiatry.com.